ever paid that much attention, whether you can see the projection screen on Facebook Live. But I want to begin in the book of Romans, chapter number 8. I want to begin at verse number 31. I'm going to be reading down to verse number 39 for our opening scriptures here this morning. It says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That is a mighty portion of Scripture. Hallelujah. I want to point you to one word in verse number 35, distress. And I want to preach this morning on diffusing distress. Amen. This scripture alone is almost enough to say amen and have a time of prayer. Hallelujah. Just the reality, if God is for us, who can be against us? That doesn't mean things will not come against us. Every situation and everything that Paul mentioned in this portion of Scripture was coming against believers. The persecution was coming. The distress was coming. The tribulation was coming. The famine was coming. The nakedness, the peril, and the sword, they were all coming against them. And this is what they were facing day by day in their Christian life of that day and that hour. So think it not strange, the fiery trials that come upon us. Think it not strange, coronavirus. Think it not strange, inconvenience. Think it not strange, frustration. Think it not strange, sickness. These are all things that we are not exempt from. But glory be to God, we have someone to run to. We have someone to turn to. Now, I want to read some portions of Scripture, and mostly this morning I'm going to just be sharing some Scriptures with us and expounding upon those Scriptures and giving us some more understanding of this distress that you and I are experiencing today. Luke chapter 21, beginning at verse number 5. "And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, As for these things which ye behold, the days will come, in which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be, and what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, Take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am. and it's been added, I am Christ. Many times people believe this was talking about false Christ, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about all those that come and say, yes, Jesus is the Christ, yet they are deceivers. That's what he's talking about. And he said, be not deceived. Many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But, that's a strong conjunction. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then he said unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilence, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. That word commotions, when you look it up in the Greek word, and I'm not a Greek scholar, and I'm not going to try to pronounce the Greek word, but it brings you some more synonyms that might help us understand that word commotions. When you hear of wars and commotions, it means instabilities, disorder, confusion, tumult. When I read that and I began to study this, I thought, wow, that's America today. We've got things going on and things being promoted and propaganda being pushed that continually is trying to bring instability in America, disorder in America, confusion in America, thus bringing fear in America. Now, Jesus said these things are going to happen. And we've all talked about it, and different ones have made reference to it. And that word pestilence, once again, you look it up and it means a plague, a disease, or a pest. And so not only does it mean insects or any type of pest like that, it also means disease. Even before the coronavirus came on the scene, disease was rampant in America. Their hospitals were already full. That was one of the biggest worries at the beginning of this pandemic, is the fact that the hospitals would be overloaded and overfilled because they were already full of men and women, people with sickness. Now more sickness was coming. See, this is the distress of the day. This is the distress of the hour. Yes, we've heard of wars. We've heard of rumors of wars. Nations have been rising against nations. There has been earthquakes and famines. Great signs from heaven. I don't know about you, but every time I hear the weather, they always use the terminology, this is the worst that it's ever been. I don't know how many times I've heard that. From the weather meteorologists, we've never seen it like this. Now, I don't know whether that's propaganda on their part or whether it's just the reality of the hour we live in. Distress. Jesus said it's going to come. It's going to happen. The distress is going to be there. These are the signs that you're going to begin to hear about, see about. And then as you begin to read on, he takes a change in his discourse in verse number 12 of Luke 21. He says, but before all these, and here's that conjunction again, he says, all right, I'm going to back up a little bit here. Before all that begins to happen, this is what's going to happen to you on a personal plane. Now, this was for their day. This was for their hour. But it's also the reality of no matter who we are and what era of time we live, the righteous will suffer persecution. The godly will suffer persecution. So he backs up just a little bit and says, but before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues, into the prisons, and being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before ye shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. Now that was for his disciples. That was for that day. That was for what was coming that day. But just as sure as he was with them in their time of distress, let us reassure ourselves here this morning that he will be with us in our time of distress, and there will not a hair of our head perish. And he will give us the wisdom, and he will give us the words to speak. Hallelujah. Because even in the midst of our distress, the most important factor is that you and I stand for the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of our God. Just as they were going to need to stand that day, and they were going to need that patience. What is patience? Sister Pepper read it at the very beginning before announcements. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that wait upon God. Hallelujah. That means we continue to trust the Lord. We continue to find our strength from God. And we continue to build our relationship with God, that we'll be strong when the distress is coming our way. Verse number 20. He then continues on. He says, and when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee into the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. They shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Many scholars believe that transpired in AD 70 when Titus descended down on Jerusalem and began to destroy it. But notice the last part. That's what gives us an understanding that that wasn't going to be the final destination of Jerusalem. He said, Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. We're coming to the close and the nearness of that time when God's going to turn from the Gentiles, from all the world. Judgment's going to begin to fall. And he's going to turn back to the Jew. And he's going to begin to deal with the Jew and bring salvation to the Jew. And so this portion of Scripture, he's still expounding upon that day, that hour. And then he goes and moves forward again. Verse number 25, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars upon earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. We'll stop right there just for a moment. Distress among nations. You and I are living in a time, a monumental time, of things transpiring that we've preached about, taught about, read about from the Word of God. This is the first time in my memory and my recollection, that there has ever been something that was global, that everybody on the face of the earth was doing the same thing, fighting the same thing, unifying against the same thing. What does that mean? That means Jesus is about to return. That means the times of the Gentiles is almost fulfilled. And this is the statement. That's why I stopped there, because we see the distress of nations. Every nation is under distress at this moment about one thing. Now, America's distressed about a multitude of things, but all across the earth, everyone is distressed about the coronavirus. It's a global, quote-unquote, pandemic. And so we see then that the globalism and the whole earth is in distress, and at the perplexity thereof, men's heart failing them for fear. Is that not what's going on in the midst of this world? Fear. Fear. Men's hearts failing them. It's not talking about a heart attack. It's talking about hope. They're losing hope. They don't think there's any way out. And yet at the same time, they don't want to hear about this man called Jesus. They don't want to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they don't want to hear about the power of God and the judgment of God. This is why they're perplexed. This is why their hearts are failing them. This is why they're discouraged. This is why they're losing hope. Fear is gripping them. This is why they can just be led around. It's all happening. It's all going on right now. Just remember, I'm preaching on diffusing distress. Hallelujah. I'm not wanting to overwhelm you with the distress. No, I'm wanting to bring you to a place and to someone who can diffuse the distress in our hearts and in our souls. But I want us to understand this is real. It is happening. We are dealing with it on a daily basis. And it is, yes, it is very frustrating many times, very inconvenient many times. But yet we've got to work to do what needs to be done so that we can continue on. Praise be to our God. Because then he goes on to say that the Son of Man is coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And verse 28 of Luke 21, it says, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." So in other words, as he's giving us the signs of what's going to happen and the distress that's coming upon this world, he's also giving us the diffusing of that distress in our lives to look up and by faith realize the truths of our God are coming to pass and he is about to return. Hallelujah. Don't get caught up and get worried about how much you're going to have to face before he comes. Get the reality that he is coming, and he's coming sooner than what we imagine or what we think. And yes, we may have to face some things. We're facing them right now. But that just means how much more right now may be his return. Woo, praise our God. Hallelujah. And this is what he was letting them know and helping them to realize that when these things start happening and you're seeing them, then don't get discouraged. Don't get down. That's what it means. Lift up your head. Know that your God is in control. And knowing that the Lord is coming back, let us continue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truths of our God. Let us be strong and let us be courageous. Wow. Glory. That's what God's trying to help us understand and see. In the midst of the distress, God is by us. As I was preparing this, I started thinking of that old hymn, "When the storms of life are raging, stand by me." Hallelujah. You know, we're such creatures of convenience. And when storms and things begin to upset our normal routine, sometimes we just kind of get blowed out of the water. We just want to fold up and just pout. I guess that's really, I mean, that's just a old country terminology. You know, we just want to you know. And I'll be honest with you, I found myself wanting to do that. Just tired of dealing with it and tired of messing with it. But then the Lord began to chasten me and he said, no, that's not what I want you to do. I want you to rise up and I want you to be courageous and I want you to be strong and I want you to face this head on and continue to preach the word of the living God that men and women might know there's still hope. There's still hope. Hallelujah. There's still the diffuser of the distress. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. So he's letting us know to lift up our heads and look and that our redemption is drawing nigh. In Proverbs chapter number 1, verse 24, all the way down to verse 33. Because I have called, this is God talking to his people. You can take it as Israel, or you can take it as the church. Whoever are God's people, this is God talking to God's people. Yes, originally he was talking to Israel, but now there's a new covenant. Now there's a Savior. Now there's the church, and the church is God's people now. He hasn't forsaken Israel altogether, but he's talking to his people. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But he have said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. That's pretty sad. That's pretty discouraging if you stop there. Verse 33. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. America is reaping what she has sowed. When you tell God you don't want to listen to him anymore. When did America do that? Started in 1948. Supreme Court made a ruling. They weren't going to use God's Bible, God's Word anymore for making decisions in their courtroom. 1948, Israel became a nation also. I love that. That is so exciting to me. Not the fact that they rejected God, but at the same time America was rejecting God, God was rebirthing Israel and bringing Israel back on the scene. It's interesting, isn't it? Took the Bible out of schools. Took prayer out of schools. You can't mention the name of Jesus as an absolute authority in schools. You can talk about him. You can have Bible studies. You can have prayers around the flagpole. But you can't proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and the only name under heaven whereby men must be saved. They won't let you do that. They don't mind giving you a little compromise so you might think you're making a difference. It ain't gonna make any difference till you start proclaiming the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only name under heaven whereby men must be saved. It's a matter of humbling the heart and turning back to God. But God's saying there's coming a time, and a time when a people will continue to refuse, and thus judgment will come. But in the midst of that judgment, his promise is, whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Diffusing distress is God's way of operating. God's great ability, God's love for his people. Hallelujah. So we see then in the midst of all the distress that God may even be allowing to happen, those that are in tune, those that hear his voice, those that know their God. Hallelujah. Well, the Bible says they'll do great exploits. In other words, they'll be strong, they'll be courageous, they're not going to be overcome by fear. Hallelujah. They're going to be wise, and they're going to operate and listen to the voice of Almighty God. Psalms 120, verses 1 and 2. In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Wow, that's very fitting for today. Because we got a lot of lying lips and a lot of deceitful tongues across the news media of this world. Oh God, help us not to listen unto secular media, but help us to be discerning, and most of all, God, to listen to you. Psalms 118, verse 1 through 6. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord. Isn't it wonderful that God included everybody? Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Glory. See, this is the place of the child of God realizing the Lord. He is my strength. Hallelujah. Psalms 18:1. I'll just continue reading on. Psalms 18, verses 1 through 6. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compass me, and the floods of the ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, and the snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. God is still on his throne. He's still in his heavenly temple. Hallelujah. And we've got to begin to understand these things transpire. Hey, but we've got a God in heaven who's able to diffuse distress. We've got a God in heaven that's able to give us courage and strength and boldness, even in a time that we don't fully understand nor know all the truth of the circumstances. That doesn't change the fact that God is God. And God is on our side. Or could I rephrase that? We are on God's side. And because we are on God's side, his promise is, I'll be on yours. Psalms chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. That word leasing means lying and deceitfulness. Wow, I thought that's very common today. Verse number 3, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed. Be still. Selah. Praise break. Praising God. Hallelujah. When you get up in the morning, when you lay down at night, hallelujah, let your mind be stayed upon the Lord, knowing he is God and he is our helper in this time of trouble, in this time of distress. You see, our opening scripture, I want to go back to it. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? This is Romans 8:31. I'm going to move on down to verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Distress should not separate us from our God. But if we are not careful, we will allow distress to separate us from our God. Fear, doubt, unbelief will separate us from our God. But distress doesn't have to. We can go to our God. We can be touched by God. We can be strengthened by God. And we can prevail for God right in the midst of distress. Diffusing distress is one of God's great joys. Hallelujah. Helping you and I to see and understand we're not alone. We're not alone. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, and I'm going to close with these scriptures. Let your conversation be without covetousness. That means your lifestyle, the way you live. Don't always covet about things. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. I don't think anyone goes looking for distress, goes looking for trouble. Child of God avoids trouble at all possible means. Follow peace with all men. That's child of God. That's that motto of the child of God. Peaceable with all men. And holiness, without which you shall not see the Lord. So the reality of following peace and holiness, your relationship with man, your relationship with God, has got to be on target. Even in distress. So then I have to make sure that I am getting my distress diffused by my diffuser. God, my Father, Jesus Christ, the Son, and the Holy Ghost of God. Diffusing distress is one of God's great pleasures. This very day, this very hour, he's not willing that any should perish. How will I perish? Doubt, fear, and unbelief. I will perish. But I must have faith and confidence in my God and trust that he will take me through. Patience, waiting on God, and he will take me through. I've told my kids, my wife, my family, multitudes of times, good things come to those that wait. Now, I didn't make that up, but I say that quite often. Because sometimes, and it's frustrating sometimes to some, I just don't get in a big hurry about things. Because I know God will bring it to pass. Good things will come to those that wait on God. Hallelujah. That's what that scripture's talking about. Being content until God brings it to pass. Really, it's called faith. Faith in God. Trust in God. Hallelujah. knowing that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can think or what we can ask. You know, we quote that scripture, we'll sing about that scripture. When it comes down to believing that scripture in the moment of distress, that's when I've got to live it. That's when I've got to abide in it. And that's when I've got to know my God is able. Hallelujah. Praise our God. Father in heaven, we praise your holy name. And God, we rejoice in your greatness. We rejoice that you are the diffuser of distress. We rejoice in the truths of your word, God, and the promises of your word. We thank you, God, for the warnings of your word. And we want to heed your counsel, O God. And I pray, Lord God, for those that are watching live on Facebook. Lord, if they're making decisions that are not profitable to their soul, if they're going the wrong direction that's taking them away from you, God, I pray, stop them, check them, deal with them. Right now, Lord God, at the close of this service, help them heed the counsel of the Lord and the word of our God to keep us strong and to keep your hand upon us, O Lord. Let us not forsake the Holy One of Heaven, O God, but let us hear what the Spirit is speaking to the church. Lord, if it's rebuke and correction, let us hear it. Lord, if it's encouragement, Lord, and peace and power, let us hear it. Lord, we want to hear what you have for us this morning. Father, we give you praise and thanksgiving. And I ask you, Lord, to touch and heal, Lord, those that are sick and afflicted here this day. Lord, that are in the sound of my voice via Facebook. Especially touch Sister Janet and touch Sister Willie. Father in heaven, we give you praise and we thank you for the opportunity of prayer through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen and amen. Praise our God. This concludes our Facebook Live service this day.